This is month 3, week 2 of the School of the Holy Spirit. And this week we're going to focus on the gift of tongues. Now the Holy Spirit is our constant abiding companion. And in the School of the Holy Spirit, we are coming to know the Holy Spirit personally. And we want to experience what Jesus called the baptism of the Holy Spirit and learn how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We also want to learn how to live a life of prayer in the Spirit, both communally and personally. And lastly, we want to learn how to move and live in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we briefly explored the 9 gifts of the Spirit that Paul enumerates in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. Now this week in the School of the Holy Spirit, we're going to explore more deeply the gift of tongues. Now the gift of tongues is also called praying in tongues, or a heavenly prayer language, or praying in the Spirit. It's also called jubilation, or jubilatio in Latin. Many times when you read some of the saints, they'll refer to jubilating, jubilatio, jubilating in the Spirit. So again, sometimes you'll hear tongues referred to as praying in tongues, a heavenly prayer language, or praying in the Spirit, or jubilation. Our focus scripture for this week is Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. The Word of God says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." You know, in this series, over and over, probably ad nauseum to you, I've stressed Christianity is about being out of control, but under the control of the Holy Spirit. I want to say that again. I think this phrase is really important for us to grasp and get a hold of. Again, Christianity is about being out of control, but it's about being under the control of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is about being out of control, but under the control of the Holy Spirit. Do you have that down? I want to make sure you have it. I think that nothing comes as close to being out of control, but under the control of the Holy Spirit, is the gift of tongues. Wouldn't you say? I mean, when you see somebody praying in tongues, it looks like they're out of control, doesn't it? But it also looks like we know deep down in our hearts that they're under the control of the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues is, I really do believe this, that gift right there, wow, that really shows somebody being under the control of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, in 2006, there was an article by Benedict Carey in the New York Times. It was published November 7th, 2006. And Carey writes this: "Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania took brain images of 5 women while they spoke in tongues and found that their frontal lobes, that's the thinking, willful part of the brain through which people control what they do, that these frontal lobes were relatively quiet, as were the language centers. The region involved in maintaining self-consciousness were active. The women were not in blind trances, and it was unclear which region was driving the behavior." Isn't that interesting that when they found, scientifically, they found that when somebody prays in tongues, that the part of the brain that's responsible for your thought patterns of speaking, that part of the brain was totally silent. But the part of the brain about self-consciousness, that part was alive. He goes on to quote Dr. Newberg, who was the heading this study. And Dr. Newberg says this: "The amazing thing was how the images supported people's interpretation of what was happening," said Dr. Andrew B. Newberg, leader of the study team. "The way they describe it and what they believe is that God is talking through them," he said. Isn't that interesting? So what is the gift of tongues? Let's go further into this. It is the heart flowing out through the lips. It's the heart flowing out through the lips. We know that the first reason that God gave us a tongue is to worship him. Yet when it comes down to it, the words fall short. Therefore, the Holy Spirit supplies us with the language. tongues is the heart flowing out through the lips. But we know by experience. You know, you go to say to somebody that you love, I love you. And the words just, there's not the words. And the same thing when it comes to us worshiping God. We've been given a tongue to worship Him, but when it comes down to it, there's just, we fall short on the words. And so the gift of tongues is the Holy Spirit supplying us the language and the words to worship God. With the gift of tongues, God so puts us in a place of being out of control, but under the control of the Holy Spirit, that He even takes away our language and gives us a new language so that we cannot pray on our own power, but under the Holy Spirit's power. Does this make sense to you? That's exactly, as we come to the end of our words, there's no words to use, so the Holy Spirit supplies us with even our own language. He wipes out whatever your language is. If you're listening to this, it's probably English, huh? He just wipes out your whole English language that you were raised with. God wipes it out so that you have no control. And you know, I really think this is what people don't like about the gift of tongues. Is they don't like the idea of being out of control. But remember, we're under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look. Well, let's take apart Romans 8, 26 through 27. I'm going to use the Revised Standard Version translation here. Let's go back and read it. Romans 8, 26 through 27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Okay, what do we learn from this passage? Number one, we are weak when it comes to prayer, and the Holy Spirit comes to help us. When one prays in tongues, you can tell that the Holy Spirit is doing the work. We need to become convinced of this, that we're weak when it comes to prayer. Number two, we don't know how to pray. Paul says that. Can you believe that? We do not know how to pray as we ought. I want to encourage you to become convinced of that. You don't know how to pray. You don't know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit does. And He comes to you in your weakness. Number three, the Spirit does the interceding for us with sounds too deep for words. These sounds are the gift of tongues. Number four, when one prays in tongues, one prays according to the will of God. Now, I want you to think about this. Do you ever pray prayers that you hope God won't answer? Do you ever pray prayers that you're saying, God, please don't answer this one, don't answer this one? No, when we pray, we want to get results. Let's just be honest about it. And the only way you can get results when you pray is to pray according to the will of God. When one prays in tongues, this is what St. Paul says, when one prays in tongues, one prays in God's will. Therefore, guess what? Things will get done. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. I want to pray prayers that are going to get answered. And to pray prayers that are going to get answered, you need to pray the will of God. And when you pray in tongues, according to what Paul just said in Romans 8, 26 through 27, when you pray in tongues, you're praying, the Holy Spirit is praying, the will of God. So, okay, when one prays in tongues, let's take a look at some things that happen. Number one, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, that when one prays in tongues, we speak to God. Here's what 1 Corinthians 14:2 says. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. See, it says it right there. When we pray in tongues, we speak to God. Number two, we pray according to His will. We already saw that, didn't we? Romans 8, 26 through 27. When we pray in tongues, we first speak to God, then we pray according to His will. Number three, what happens when we pray in tongues? According to 1 Corinthians 14:4, it builds us up. It builds you up. 1 Corinthians 14:4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. To edify means to build up, like an edifice on the front of a building, right? It's the upbuilding. You can tell what the building is by looking at the edifice. And when you pray in tongues, it builds you up in faith, we're going to see. Number four. So number one, when you pray in tongues, you speak to God. Number two, you pray according to his will. Number three, it edifies, it builds you up. Number four, you speak mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one else understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. When we pray in tongues, we're uttering mysteries of the kingdom. I'm here to tell you that I spend a lot of time praying in tongues. And do you know what? As I pray in tongues, God is teaching me things. He's revealing mysteries. He's speaking, I'm speaking mysteries. And then that's filtering into my intellect. And God is teaching me. So, number five, it builds up your most holy faith when you pray in tongues. It increases your faith. In Jude chapter 1, verse 20, Jude 1:20, there's only one chapter in Jude. So in verse 20 it says, but you, my beloved, building yourselves up upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So when we pray in tongues, we build up our holy faith. You know, as I record this is the year of faith. Pope Benedict proclaimed it as the year of faith. Wow, you want a great way to grow in faith according to the Word of God, Jude chapter 1, verse 20, is if you pray in the Spirit, if you pray in tongues, you'll grow in faith. So number one, you're going to speak to God. Number two, pray according to his will. Number three, it's going to build you up. Number four, you're going to speak mysteries. Number five, it's going to build up your faith. Number six, it's a tool of intercession. When you pray in tongues, you're interceding for the saints. According to Ephesians 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18 through 20. This is what the Word of God says. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. I'm just going to stop here and say, if you're somebody that has a problem with the gift of tongues, oh boy, you had a problem with St. Paul. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words will be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I declare it fearlessly as I should. So he says here, that we're to keep on praying in the Spirit for all God's people. So, in another translation, it says, making intercession for the saints. When we pray in tongues, we're praying for, it's a tool of intercession to pray for others. And then last, tongues is to praise God. In 1 Corinthians 14:6 says, otherwise, when you're praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer, say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you're saying. Say amen to your thanksgiving. So see, when we pray in tongues, part of tongues is, yes, it's interceding. Part of tongues is building us up, speaking mysteries. But part of tongues is praising God. It's your heart flowing out through your lips. And there just aren't the words. Now, is the gift of praying in tongues necessary? No, but I found it's usual. It is usual that when I pray over someone, that they receive the gift of tongues. And it's interesting that when you study Scripture, that every time the Holy Spirit comes in the Acts of the Apostles, every single time, the believer begins to speak in tongues. For example, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when the Holy Spirit comes, what happens? They began to speak in tongues, right? That's Acts chapter 2, verse 4. In Acts 10, 44 through 46, Peter knows that the Holy Spirit had come to the Gentiles because he heard them speaking in tongues. If you read the story, he says, what's prevent these people from being baptized? He's preaching the gospel to them, and all of a sudden they break out into tongues. And Peter says, what's to prevent these people from being baptized? Why? Because he knows the Holy Spirit has already come. There's a sign and evidence of the Spirit being there. What's the evidence? The speaking in tongues. In Acts chapter 19, verse 6, when Paul places his hands on the newly baptized, you know what they did? They spoke in tongues. I really believe this. That people would break out into tongues, but we've got such, oh gosh, I don't know what the word is. It's probably fearful. We just don't want to let the Holy Spirit take over. And here's what it is. We don't want to be out of control, but under the control of the Holy Spirit. You know, we lead people to Christ, but we don't tell them. When they come into the church, when they give their lives to Christ, we don't tell them. That Christianity means that you're going to just surrender your life totally, completely, and let the Holy Spirit do with you whatever he wants. Even if he wants to pour out through your lips in words that you don't even know. Okay, I want to explain to you right now the anatomy, if you will, the spiritual anatomy of how tongues works, the gift of tongues. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May he sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless. Paul sees man here is tripartite, spirit, soul, and body. Why is this important? This works perfect with the gift of tongues. You see, the spirit organ of you, if you will, the spirit is where you come into communion with God. That doesn't happen in your intellect, will, or emotions. That doesn't happen in your body. That there's a part of you that's called your spirit or your heart. That is the place where you enter, your spirit enters into communion with the Holy Spirit. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's what your soul is. And the body is the systems and the senses. Now, a lot of us, isn't this interesting? We've lived in this person all these years, however old you are, some of you are probably really old, you've lived in this body this whole time, but not just in this body. You've lived in a soul this whole time. You lived in a spirit this whole time. But we don't know who we are. The soul, remember, the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. The soul with the will is where tongues begins. You are giving your surrender to the Holy Spirit to take over your prayer time. When you pray in tongues, you're not possessed. That's a free choice that you're making. It is your will to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Out of your relationship with God, which happens in the communion in your spirit, out of that communion, the Holy Spirit takes over your tongue, the body, and prays the will of God. The whole person is involved, spirit, soul, and body. Do you understand this? Let me go back to this. It is your will to exercise a surrender to the Holy Spirit, which occurs in your spirit, which then flows at your will through your tongue. The whole person. By praying in tongues, your whole person chooses to be out of control, but under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to clarify something here because I know this comes up all the time. People say, well, you know, wait a second, doesn't it need to be interpreted? Doesn't tongues need to be interpreted? Well, there's two types of tongues. There's speaking in tongues and there's praying in tongues. Speaking in tongues is to the church. If I get up and I deliver a message, blah, 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 everybody will look at me and say, oh, well, that's interesting, but what does it mean? But when you pray in tongues, you're speaking to God. Now I have a question. Does God need an interpreter? No. So, the gift of tongues, praying in tongues, does not need to be interpreted, but it can be interpreted. How can you exercise this gift of tongues? Well, every day I would encourage you to use it in your private prayer, to have times of just surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Another way of using the gift of tongues is singing in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, Paul says, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit. See, so you can sing with the Spirit. You can use the gift of tongues with other people. I've been in crowds of people just singing in tongues, and it sounds like angels. I use the gift of tongues a lot before I minister because I don't know what that person needs. So I just step back and I let the Holy Spirit take over for him to minister. Hey, a great time to use the gift of tongues? When you don't know how to pray, because the truth is, you don't know how to pray. And lastly, you know what's a great time to use the gift of tongues? When you're just out of words. So I want to encourage you again, the gift of tongues is not, it's not necessary, but I find that it is usual. It's usual. And you know what else I find about the gift of tongues? Because it's such a gift of being out of control, but under the control of the Holy Spirit, is that if you would surrender to that gift of tongues more and more and more and use it more and more, other gifts of the Holy Spirit, those gifts that we studied last week, gifts like healing, gifts like prophecy, discernment of spirit, gifts like miracles. I really believe this. If we would just surrender with the gift of tongues to being out of control, but under the control of the Holy Spirit, he would begin to move you into gifts that you wouldn't even imagine. So I want to encourage you. I'm going to end it right now. Hey, listen. Can I give you some advice? Let go. Let go. Don't let your mind, this isn't, the mind is the soul. No. This is coming from the Spirit. Let go. Stop being controlled by your mind, your will, or your emotions. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And let him take you to where he wants you to go, whether it be comfortable or uncomfortable. In Jesus' name, amen.